This is a CKTZ News update. CKTZ News is asking every candidate in our riding three questions. What is the most important issue or issues in this election? What have you done personally to address this issue? And why should we vote for you? Rachel Blaney, who's been North Island Powell Rivers MP since 2015, was the first to respond. So, Rachel, what is the most important issue?
Well, I mean, that's always a hard question because everybody has things that matter most to them. I know that what we're hearing in our campaign office is climate change, housing and affordability, and care for seniors and Indigenous issues, people wanting to see more reconciliation and more meaningful action around reconciliation. So those are the four ones that we hear the most. I guess I can focus on two of them, which for me, really what we hear the most are a lot of concerns around the climate, the environment, and what is happening in our province, in our country, and across the planet. And the other one that we hear the very most, of course, is housing and people not having an affordable place to live or not having a place to live at all.
Explain to me why those are important issues in this riding.
Well, you know, I think when we talk about housing, a lot of folks are getting hold of me who are paying a rent that is very, very high, and they're just not able to afford it. So if you look at, especially, we've heard from some young people who are moving into the area that are still paying off student debt. They have a professional job, a job that gives them a decent income, but the housing costs are just so high that they can't get to that next level. And, you know, I was just talking to someone recently who was telling me about a couple of professionals that they know who are right now living in an RV at a campsite, and they have both their cars parked there, and that's how they're making it work for them to have the jobs that they have. But I also hear from people that are struggling, seniors in particular, who are really challenged to find something that they can afford. And more what I'm hearing from a lot of seniors is that they're trying to figure out what they can afford. So sometimes they can't afford enough food, or sometimes they don't know if they'll be able to afford their medication. And a lot of it swings back to the fact that they're paying so much on their rental unit. And then, of course, we hear from folks who look at the market the way it is and how fast housing costs are going up, and they just can't afford to buy, and they can't even envision a future where they can. So I've heard that as well from young people. You know, their vision is that they'll never own a house because they simply can't afford it, especially with the high rent. They don't have enough to put aside to save up that down deposit, which we all know is huge now because of the housing costs. And I think another issue around housing that I hear a lot about is around specifically seniors worried about the future for care housing for them, or even accessible housing where they get a little bit of support, but they can, you know, be close to friends, especially in our rural communities. I know out in Cortez, there's a group that are working really hard to get some more housing that's accessible for seniors, because as you age, the needs that you have change. And if you have a larger house or a larger lot, you can't manage it, but you don't want to leave your home. And I hear that in the North Island and a lot of our smaller, remoter communities. And I think one of the things that I think is important is that social value of the people and the community that you know. So when things happen, you know, you have those people that drop by and bring you food or help care for your loved one because they know you need a bit of a break. You don't have that when you move to a new community. And that's one of the things that I find sad is we're seeing, you know, younger seniors leave their communities that are in the bigger centers to go to the smaller centers because it's more affordable. And then people in those smaller centers leaving those communities because they can't get the services that they need. And both of those groups are losing that social infrastructure. And then around climate, I think, I mean, how could it not be one of the biggest issues? This question is only growing. People are having this more and more at top of mind. For me, of course, you know, I'm watching, as all of us are, the fires that are happening in British Columbia. We saw how hot it got here, unlike anything that I have ever seen before. We know what happened, you know, with all of that lightning that came as a result of that, that started a lot of these fires. It's the way our environment works is changing, and it's changing so fast. And I think, you know, we just heard from the IPCC again, another article, and, you know, I say this all the time, but I've stood in the House of Commons and said to the Prime Minister, like, what is it that you need to take action? Because you're talking a lot, but what is it that you need to take that next step? And I think my leader, Jagmeet, has been very clear, is what you need is the will to actually care about these issues. So people are seeing the changes. They're looking at people fleeing, not having their homes, communities burnt down. And they're thinking, you know, here we are. This is the new reality that we're facing. And what does that mean? You know, I look at my garden this year and it's struggling because of how dry it is. And I'm trying not to water a whole bunch because I really respect that we need to have those resources for everything else. But it's changing. So how can it not be something that we're all thinking about, concerned about, and looking at what will the future be if we don't do something? And it's dire.
What have you done personally to address housing and climate change?
For me, around climate change, you know, I really appreciate the work that my party has done. When we had Bill C-12 in front of us in the House of Commons, I was receiving, and that's the Climate Accountability Act, for those of you who don't know the number, I was receiving hundreds of emails from people across the riding just saying, please get this passed. It's not good enough. It's not near the gold standard, but it at least gives us something better than what we have. So we were just responding to so many emails and I think for me, it really touched base with me just how anxious people are. They just want to see better measures and an increasing amount of accountability in that issue. And so for me, you know, what I was proud of is we were able to take that bill. The NDP really pushed the Liberals on this, and it was hard. There was a lot of discussions and negotiations, but we wanted the bill to be a bit stronger. We didn't get it where we wanted it to be. I'll be the first to admit that. But when you're in these situations, especially in a minority government where you have some power, you may not get everything you want, but at least you're moving it a little bit further. And we were able to do that. And so some of the things that we moved, just so people understand, is, of course, they were saying, well, we're going to put this in place, but no reporting back to Canada until 2030. And we said, absolutely not. Like, we can't be waiting years and years for some sort of report to tell us how we're doing. We need that sooner. So we got that down to 2025. And of course, we have a preliminary report in 2023. That was something that the NDP did. The other thing that we got in there was acknowledging Indigenous wisdom and knowledge in this process. And I think that's really important, because as we move forward, we have to recognize the first people of this land and listen to the history and their knowledge, because their knowledge of this area, of the whole country, is so much longer and stronger than the rest of Canadians. And then the last thing is the independent board. We wanted to make sure that they had a lot of independence when they were looking through this process, and making sure that that accountability had that independence. We don't want it to be like the government saying, here's what we want you to say and here's what we don't want you to say. We wanted them to have that strength and ability. So those are the things that we fought for and the things that we were successful for. Still so much more to do. I think personally as well, I did a motion and a bill. One bill was just on food waste and how much emissions come from food waste and how we're not strategizing around that. It's about food security a little bit, but mostly it's about all of those emissions that are coming out of people just throwing away the food. And we need to do better in those areas. I know it's just one small factor of such a big picture, but it was something that we could start talking about. And I wanted to engage with people. And I was so impressed by how many people contacted me across the riding, but across Canada, saying, yes, we need to get serious about that. And the other thing is, I put forward a motion that really talked about, now that we're in the place that we have to start thinking, what is the COVID recovery going to look like? We need to be listening to rural and remote communities, and we need to see resources coming to those communities, especially around the issue of climate, because our communities, our rural and remote communities, are often the resource-based economies, and that's been our history. And the economy globally is changing, and our country is changing, and our environmental needs are changing. And what I don't want to see is, as that progress happens, that our communities are left behind. We need to find solutions that are here, and we also need to find opportunities for work here and business here and for those jobs, so that we don't lose people in this fight because they are fighting against us because they don't see a future where they belong in it. So for climate, that's what I did. Around housing, you know, I did a lot of advocacy to get more resources. We were able to get some resources, still not the amount that I want to see coming to the communities, for sure, around housing. You know, I don't know how many times I listened to announcements coming into our community And it's like the provincial government gave a whole bunch of money for that housing strategy, and the federal government gave this tiny little amount. So I did a lot of work just pushing them, making sure that they were getting more resources, a lot of work to still be done there. And then the other thing that I did, not in this parliament, but in the parliament before, is bring forward legislation on the right to housing. And this is really important to me, because one of the things that we know is that nobody's watching the ball on what's happening around housing. And if you look back 36 years, you'll see this decrease on two sides. The one side being people investing in rental income housing. We've seen that. It's just like this really slow downturn. And then on the other side, both federally and provincially and territorial across Canada, this slow decrease that just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. And now we're here where there is this huge decrease over time of purchasing affordable housing in all the different formats that they can be in. And so, you know, when you look at that, what I realized as I was looking at that is no one is watching that ball, and we need the federal government to just be watching it. There's multiple solutions, but now we're in a crisis point. So even though we're seeing more housing coming into some of our communities, getting ahead, we're just so far behind. And so I brought forward that bill, and I remember the minister coming to me the day of that vote, and he said, don't worry, Rachel, you know, I'm not going to support your bill. But when we have our national housing strategy, we'll make sure that the right to housing is in there. And I said, is it going to be in the Bill of Rights? Because if it's not in the bill, that means nobody's going to watch that ball. And it also means that we can't go to the Human Rights Tribunal and say housing has now become an issue and we want to talk about what that means in Canada. And he promised me that it would be fine and I had nothing to worry about. And of course, we saw their housing strategy come out. They talked about it, which is what I've learned from Liberals during the last 6 years. They like to talk about it. They like to name it, but they don't like to take that next step, which is really action.
The last question I've got is, why should we vote for you?
Well, you know, I've been doing this job for about 6 years now, and it has been an incredible honor to do the work. I hope that people will trust me with their vote because I have a proven track record. I've fought hard to get more resources into our riding, and we've had success. I've been able to work with the government to make sure that when we're really fighting for something, we get some of the resources. I will say that it's not always as much as I would like it to be, but when I look at the results that I've been able to bring in, I'm really proud. Even for the last part of government, in August, we saw multi-million dollars coming in largely for infrastructure and for DFO, Department of Fisheries and Officers. And that office, like that in Oceans, that's just so important because those resources are desperately needed. We've been underrepresented in the past, and I'm able to go out there and work really hard. And I also want to say another reason I think people should vote for me is because I'm a voice that you can trust. I don't always agree with you, but I will always have a conversation. Me and my team are really working out there hard to have conversations with people and understand the issue. And I've done some things that are really interesting for me because there are things I didn't know a lot about. So I went out to learn about them. So it meant that I've been in situations where, you know, I've talked to people that aren't people that I necessarily agree with, but I learned so much from those valuable conversations. And lastly, I just want to say, I come from a background of community development and community services. And so the work that I have done has really focused on our communities, on collaborating with people in a meaningful way, of making sure information is accessible for people. The federal government is sometimes a very challenging thing to navigate. And my team has been amazing at helping people look for resources, looking for funding opportunities to navigate things like immigration, like the Canada Revenue Agency. We're able to organize things and help people take something that is often very stressful, very large. And when you face challenges with that, for us to support you in getting that. And sometimes that means that, you know, people get a little more resource. I'll give you an example. During COVID, we worked with so many people. We worked with a lot of small businesses that talked about the particular challenges that they were facing. And we were able to articulate to the government where those gaps were, and we were able to get some of those gaps filled. And I also think about the time when we had the money that was coming for persons living with disabilities. And a lot of people in our riding were calling our office with significant challenges physically, mentally. They wanted support. And of course, the federal government made the decision to make that money flow through the disability tax credit. So if anybody doesn't know, disability tax credit basically means it's a tax credit. If you are not paying income tax because you're low income or whatever, you are not going to get anything back, because that's not how it works. So a lot of people who are eligible for that program don't apply for it, because it is a long and sometimes frustrating process. We've had a lot of people get denied the first time, come back to us, and we help them apply the second time until they're finally approved. So when that people understood that they would qualify, but they weren't tied to this program, they were getting a hold of our office in droves saying, please help us. Like, so we did a town hall online. A ton of people participated across the riding and talked about the process of getting that done. And then a lot of people worked with us to get that done. And I was really proud of our ability to help those people get that extra money. You know, it's just a little bit extra. I think it was about $600. But when you're a low-income person, you should be in this program, but you don't apply for it because it's not worth the hassle, because you don't get anything back at tax time. This was an opportunity. So I really think, you know, one of the goals for me is that I organize, I work with my team. They are an amazing group of people. And we just try to make sure that our constituents' voices are heard, and that the realities we face in our riding are heard. And, you know, and we fight like heck to get the resources in the door, if it's for a person individually, or if it's for a community, or it's for our whole riding. One of the most recent examples is in the federal update last November, the federal government said, instead of Western economic diversification, we're going to make BC have their own diversification, their own economic development agency. And I got a hold of the minister very quickly and said, this needs to come to our riding. You need to have these economic diversifications in ridings like ours that are facing specific challenges. You need to be listening to rural and remote communities, because they have a unique voice that is often not heard in Ottawa. And we fought like heck. I had many meetings. I sent a lot of letters. We engaged the riding and said, can you support me in this? And so many people sent letters to the minister saying, please put that in here. And I was really happy when we finally got the announcement that Campbell River was picked as one of those communities that's going to have that office, which means there's now going to be an economic development agency in our riding that's listening to the realities here in our communities and sending that up the pipeline to Ottawa. So when we talk about making sure voices are heard, every step that I take is to make sure that that is done.